Thank you. That was good. So what happens when the kids eat the candy first? How does that work? As I mentioned at the beginning, I know some of you have come in since then. This is what's coming up a week from tonight, Cumberland County Fairgrounds. A couple of us are going down early that day. They have they call it a meet and greet and with hors d'oeuvres. So we'll see how that works. So I'll be going down early, but I'll be looking for whoever comes from our group. What's our code? Shiloh Chapel t-shirts, sweatshirts, I don't know. We should have all done them in fluorescent orange. I can find them easier. So you want to get there early. There's going to be a lot of people and with parking and getting in the place. So we'll do some emails on that this week. Interesting watching reactions on Facebook to this. And there's a huge misunderstanding about there who Franklin Graham is and what he does. He is literally, not him personally, but the organization that he has been running for a number of years now, Samaritan's Purse, has literally helped millions of people, millions, outside of tax money, all by donation, with all the basic needs of life, from medical care to buildings to farm animals, you name it. Humanitarian aid, huge. Plus, the message of eternal life and hope in Jesus Christ. And I know there are other organizations and agencies that do that, but those of you that have done the Christmas boxes, Operation Christmas Child, that is a huge program. And I am just so impressed with what they're doing, what they are doing and how they do it. And he's still also doing evangelism. And this ministry right now ties into both, to preach the gospel, to pray for our nation. So hopefully our little group will have a good turnout there too. It's time to do the baby bottles. And I hope you will support CareNet by doing that, more than if you're able to, more than just your pocket change. I'm just so grateful we have that ministry in Brunswick. It's a great place to have such a ministry. We've got a college there called Bowdoin College. I don't think it's overpopulated with evangelical Christians. I had a friend that for years there worked as a chaplain, for lack of a better term, until the college said he couldn't do it any longer. He could not have a Christian group on what was formerly a Christian college campus. Yeah, so-called. Not very diverse when you say this group's in and this group's out. So they have to do it off campus. It's not endorsed by the campus any longer. While he was there and in that role, when that administration allowed him to do it, we actually had an open faith 2 days outside of their dining area where about a dozen different area ministries set up tables and would talk to kids. It didn't make a difference what faith you were from, so I had a table there. And the kids, the brave ones, would come out and get some free candy. But in my hours there, I was amazed that these intellectual students that are by scholarship or going into mega debt at this campus could not come out and talk about faith. They were scared to do it. And I just thought, what is going on in our country that we can't even talk about it? I don't mind if people disagree. I don't mind that. We should be able to talk respectfully about our faith and what that's like. But anyway, Brunswick. And then, believe it or not, we're 3 weeks away from the car show. So there's a lot of things already in progress for that. Be praying about what? Weather. Pray about the weather. Because of the weather, we're a little behind on things to do up and around the place here, and looking at the weather map for this week, it's not real enticing either. If you want to come up, though, if you get a free hour and it's not raining, and want it just, our first step is we got to go pick up sticks off the lawn. You can throw them in this corner here down over the banking. Get the sticks off so we can start mowing. If you like to do some external painting, we got to do some work out back here. Some places that need some painting. There's a lot of odds and ends we could do to really spiff the place up. For those of you that have email, I'll try email some things out. If you don't, you can call me. I'm going to bounce that off Andrew. He's in charge of grounds, but we want the place to look as sharp as we can, right, before the car show. I think that's important. For a lot of people still have not driven up this hill and seen this church that have lived in this community for years. I talked to one yesterday. Lived in the community for years, never been up here. And some of them, literally, I laugh, but they're scared to come up here. So let's make sure it's as nice as we can make it. Right. Okay. Happy Mother's Day, and that is to whether you're a mom or not. It's to all ladies here. And Don will have to pull us before it goes on the website. I have all these copyright ones. Motherhood, Inc., human resource. One vacation day a year, that's all I get. We call it Mother's Day, but technically you still have to work. And moms do that, 24/7, whatever. So this is, in my mind, I mean, you're all here because you had a mom. Whether you knew her or not is irrelevant, but you're all here because somebody, you had a mom. And I don't know in 20 years from now what's going to happen genetically and creating and all these things, but right now, there's still the biological miracle of birth, praise God. And it's a very precious thing. Every life is a very precious life. And those that say, I know I'm not going to get into debate, but those that say, well, they need to only come into a good, loving home. And yet I know some people personally very well that did not grow up in good, loving homes. And yet God has touched their lives and their lives are meaningful and productive and they're raising good families or have raised good families. So please don't buy into that. That's not a valid argument, okay? So we're going to look at some of the verses that Christy pulled out too. They're good verses, but I've been going over this one in my head. It looks like such a simple verse in creation. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. It's such a simple statement of fact. This is not a theorem or theory. It is a statement of fact that the Creator God made all that we see and know, and his final act of creation was man, and then his actually most superior act of creation was woman, the final act of all creation. And God has a purpose and plan for each gender. It, not one is better than the other, but we have different roles and functions. And somehow our society has lost that concept and they think it's disrespectful. And I think it's, I don't know who comes up with these. Yes, I do. Satan comes up with these arguments. You think of where you work, everybody doesn't do the same thing, or else if they do, I don't know where you work. Everybody can't do the same thing all the time. When we do EMS calls, everybody can't do the same thing all the time. It can't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You have to have different roles and assignments. And then when we figure out what our roles and assignments are and we work together, that's fantastic. Then a lot of good things happen. But don't be pulled away from the pseudo-argument that everybody can do exactly the same thing and all the time because it's absolutely based on absurdity. And if you want to... I like reading people that think way better than I do, but I can only read them in small doses. But I can say, if you read anything by R.C. Sproul, and I'm reading the book called, I think it's called The Love of God, I'm reading from him now. Is that the right title? The Love of God, R.C. Sproul. He just passed away a year and a half ago. Great, great theologian, great teacher down in Orlando, Florida. Because he looks at God's purposes in his love, and he explains it. By the way, he knows all the other arguments. That's why I like reading these guys. They are well-researched in philosophy and other world religions. So when somebody says, well, you didn't think of this, their answer is, oh, yes, I have. I've already considered that. Those some of you, same thing with Ravi Zacharias. I've already considered all these other worldviews. And I understand that's why the Judeo-Christian ethic, based on Scripture, and of course, Christ, the final revelation of God himself, it makes so much sense because that's how it's supposed to work out. So God has this idea. He creates us uniquely, distinctly, different roles and purposes and functions. So then when we get to what we call the Ten Commandments, he would say, or write in stone, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. They have equal but distinct roles. And he's saying it's important that we understand that and that we honor them. Now, note in this writing, it doesn't say honor the ones you like, honor the ones who do well, it just says to honor them. Well, I'll try to explain that a little bit in a moment. And then, when you study the Bible, you always want to notice what's stated in the Old Testament, is it repeated in the New Testament? Because if it's repeated in the New Testament, it's saying this still goes. Because there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that don't still go. I did that yesterday. I had lobster roll, okay? In the Old Testament, I couldn't get away with that. That was a bad deal. But yesterday, I really enjoyed it. It was a good buy. There was a lot of lobster. It was really good. The Old Testament, I couldn't do that. In the New Testament, I can do that. So you want to see what's going on in the New Testament. But when they repeat something like this, as he does, this is what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And then he puts in what we would call a parenthetical statement. It wasn't in the original, but he inserts it to bring it out. Which is the first commandment with a promise. There's something really good stapled to this one. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I like to think he did the amplified version of Exodus 20. So what does it mean to honor? Different resources, different definitions define it in different ways. But I'll let you think for a second. What does it mean to honor? Honor as in the verb. There's honor noun, honor verb. I'm looking at the verb, right? I hope. So here's one thing that I found. Just as honor involves offering profound respect, the opposite of honoring someone is to trivialize him as if of no importance. Let's just sit on this one a minute. Our society today, the West, I can't speak of other cultures, although in the East, I think that's still a big deal that you honor those that are older. You honor superiors. As far as I know, in the East, the Eastern religions continue to emphasize that. Eastern cultures do too. But here in the West, who do we respect? Anybody? We live in a culture of disrespect, do we not? You see it on Facebook. You see it on the news. We live in the culture of disrespect. And the whole concept of respect is foreign to us as a culture. Now, I had an experience this week that taught me that some people, maybe erroneously, have respect for law. I find it, this to me was funny, but probably wasn't to them. So we had a medical call. I was responding from my house. Now, anyone know what I drive for a car? This is important detail. Which one? I'm in a little gray Audi A4. It's not a big car. It blends in with the scenery. It's just a little sedan. But when I'm responding to a call, I've got the flashing light thing on it. And so when I came to the end of Shiloh Road, I knew I was turning left by the house numbers, and an older gentleman on a very nice motorcycle puttered by, not going very fast. So I turned out. I wasn't going fast because I'm trying to figure where I am on the road by house numbers. He saw my red light. He pulled over and let me go by. That was fine. Well, I didn't go probably four car lengths past him, and I realized I was nearing an address that I had to figure out. But because of some of the driveways there, I don't know which house is which house number, and it does help to go to the right house when they've called. So I pulled over to get out to actually figure out, because there were several mailboxes there, which house was which. Well, next thing I know, he rides up right behind me. He's on the edge of the gravel by the pavement, and he's an older gentleman whose feet really don't quite touch the ground, and he's very wobbly sitting there. And I thought he's having a medical event. And I said, "Can I help you?" And he goes, "Well, I don't think I should park here. I think the bike will tip over." And I said, "No, you shouldn't park here." I said, "Why are you here? Do you feel all right?" He goes, "Well, you pulled me over." Now, my brain had been working, I thought, this could really be fun. I've wanted to do this my whole life. Let me write you a ticket. Anyway, my brain's going, "No, I've got to get to this house. I don't know what's going on." So meanwhile, on the back of my shirt, it has in huge letters, Durham Fire and Rescue. My license plate has the EMS star on it, about 5 inches high, and it's an Audi. I don't know why I look like a policeman or a police car. The red lights, depending on your state, but anyway, he's still there kind of shaky. I said, "No." I said, "I've got to go help somebody. I'm not a policeman." "You're not?" "No, I'm not." And I said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I think so." And then I thought he's going to dump it, taken off. He gingerly shakes out of there and down the road he goes. And I felt like going, "Need backup?" "We're about to have another transport. Send a second ambulance." And I thought, But he was very honoring to me. He was honoring me far beyond what I deserved with my blue sweatshirt on, but in his confusion. So watch out for older gentlemen, and that's not me on motorcycles. I can still put my feet in the ground anyway. Confused. Now, I would be amazed if people of my kids' age would, one, confuse me with a cop, and would I have been treated with the same respect? I don't think so. We live in a generation that doesn't understand what respect is, and we tend to trivialize individuals. Why is that a problem? Because to honor means to value someone, to value. Here are some synonyms: to observe, respect, to abide by, to honor someone. So we talk about Mother's Day in conjunction with the biblical command to honor that person, to honor your father and your mother. What is God looking at, and why is he saying that without clarification, without justification? Good parent, bad parent, that's what they're saying. Now, I'm blessed because many of you, knew my dad, know my mom. I had and have awesome parents. To honor them, though, and I've thought about this, what does it mean to really respect or value them, and why should I do that? I know it's a command, but God's commands usually are based on good, clear thinking. God doesn't command something unless there's a reason for it. A little explanation pops up in Proverbs. This is right in the first chapter. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. It makes a difference. Now, some people have made this thing very literal, that mom should be the teacher and father should give other kinds of instruction. And in Hebrew poetry, if you will, it's not that specific. You're over taking it apart. We both have roles and functions in it, but it's just an explanation. You honor them by listening to them. And as I've heard some people say, I learned from my parents how not to be a good parent. It was still a learning thing because they made some serious mistakes, but I learned I didn't want to raise my kids that way. And with God's grace, they did not. Something from another website. Not only must we model the fifth commandment, we must require it of our children. We must help them understand how respect for authority is the thread that governs our society and ultimately preserves our freedom. They need to see what? Where is it from? It's from God. God ordains government structure. If you're ticked off with Washington or Augusta, whatever, I am too. That's universal griping. That's not a big deal. But we're talking about the value of human beings and what it means to have respect. And then I think of issues that are hot-button issues, like school shootings right now. Why do we keep having these school shootings? That's a hot-button issue. I think we should have intelligent dialogue about that. But it should come out of respect for both sides. I respect you as an individual, so I want to hear what you think might be a step towards a working solution. And then I hope you'd respect me when I share my thoughts on what might be a step towards a working solution. But instead, we react in emotion. And if I don't agree with you, I dismiss you, and I devalue you, and I put you down. Disagreement should not mean disrespect. I should, and you should, we should be able to disagree and still respect each other. Why is that essential? Because God made you. You are made in the image of God for the glory of God. You have great value to God. Jesus, I believe, would have died for you or for me if we were the only one that needed saving. He did that, obviously, for the whole scope of the human race, but you are of great value. The minute I decide that I'm not winning an argument, this is so common, whether it's politics or kids in the school ground, if I'm not convincing you of my thinking, then I'm going to put you down. I'm going to devalue you so it makes me feel better. And that's exactly what I think God is saying is the opposite of honoring. Honoring, we don't devalue you. We recognize value. Children must learn that respect is not a matter of preference. It is a mandate from their eternal father. Honoring your parents in the early years is largely manifested how? Obedience. So parents, as you're teaching your kids how to obey, I think of two things when When I was raising kids, it wasn't as clear. As a grandpa, things get a little clearer. Two things happen when we're teaching kids how to obey. The first thing that you are teaching them, first thing you are doing, the kids don't understand this. When you teach them obedience, you are literally protecting their lives. You could be saving their lives when you teach them obedience. Do you understand that? If a child out here starts running out behind a car and they don't see us moving, and you say, stop, and they stop, or you say, come, and they come, what have you just done? You saved their life. With a command, they've learned obedience in little things like pick up your toys or, you know, take the little things, but they know when you speak, you mean it, and that there's consequences if you don't mean it. Well, they figure that out. If you don't mean it, they've already got you. But when you say stop or come here, you save their life. So obedience is a life-saving thing for children. By the way, does that carry through when we're adults in God's word? Oh, yeah. When God says don't do it, he knows that it will harm you. It will whatever. So we want to be obedient to God's word. So we teach kids obedience because, one, it can be a lifesaver. Two, it gives them the idea that there is a higher authority. They are not the ultimate authority. I am not my ultimate authority, am I, Lois? You know, you're not your ultimate authority. This is a myth that be yourself. What is myself? I've just had three funerals and three Saturdays, and they weren't here in this chapel with our own people, you know? My mom is somewhere getting closer to the day when she leaves this planet and she goes to be with her Savior. She's on borrowed time. That doesn't bother her. She wants to be with Jesus. She's ready to be with Jesus. It bothers me to see her in the state that she's in right now. That hurts. My brother just flew in and his wife from Arizona, and we kind of prepared them, but they said, Jan goes, I just wasn't prepared for this. We're not prepared for this. It's end of life. But the respect factor that's there, my parents taught me obedience and taught me the Bible, and so it puts things in sync. And it wasn't like it was all about me. I knew they loved me, and I knew they cared for me, and I knew they provided me. But this myth is, it's all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about whom? Jesus is the right answer. You know, children's church, they ask a question. Kids always say, Jesus. Is today Mother's Day? Jesus. No, it's not always the right answer. But it is the right answer for us a lot of the time. Jesus is the right answer. Honor. To really honor and we understand our place, it's manifested through obedience. Our kids learning obedience to us and us learning obedience to our higher authority, God himself, as revealed through Jesus. Because God says so, your value as a person in his eyes is intrinsic and irrevocable. Can't be taken away. You are created. You are made in the image of God. There isn't one person on this planet that's an accident in God's eyes. Some people may think of that, but not in God's sight. Each person is a precious life before his eyes. You were created to know God, to love God, and as the early creed said, to enjoy his presence forever, all eternity before us, because God says so. Your value, ladies, is intrinsic and irrevocable. Nobody can take that away from you. You may be in a relationship where you are not respected. I am sorry if that's true. God give you grace and patience. Paul talks about that in his letter to the church in Corinth. Pray for your spouse. Keep on loving them. Love them to the throne of grace. That's so important because God says so. So respect, honor, value. As I... In all three of these different services, two were graveside, one we were in a building yesterday, but in all three of these places, I knew my audience was largely what I would call unchurched. And I was saying to the band when we were practicing, when I present the gospel, and I do it very simply, I'm not trying to manipulate people when they're in an emotional, difficult place, but I want them to know the truth of God's word. There is life after death. And as I've talked with people in some of these families, they tell me they believe in spirits, but not sure about God and the whole thing. And I think, wow, we're over here and believe that a human has a spirit. Well, what's going to happen to that spirit when the spirit leaves the body? So we've had some conversations. But there is this general, I call it misunderstanding, lack of understanding, that God loves them personally. God loves you personally. God loves me personally. and there's still the ancient myth that flies around, if there is a God, he's only out to get me. And if they will say that to me in so many words, I'll say, you're right. He's out to get you to heaven. He wants you to be in his presence. He wants you to know his love and his grace. He wants you to experience his forgiveness. But there's such a resistance to that based largely on lies and ignorance. And that we would, as we respect others, starting in the home and then in the workplace, at school, we don't disrespect people. When others are just having a ball, tearing whoever it is to shreds verbally, we go, I can't do that. This person was made in the image of God for the glory of God. I can't do that. I may disagree with them as far as any human being you can disagree with, but I can't be disrespectful, amen? And especially for our moms, that we value them, that we value them. To all the moms, grandmas, aunts, sisters, and other women in our lives that care for us, and I think as much as anybody on earth, love us unconditionally. I think mothers do the better job of that than dads. But moms tend to love us unconditionally. Happy Mother's Day, amen? Okay, we're going to sing in closing a song that you know, Endless Hallelujahs. I think of ladies who used to sit in this room that have gone in to be with Jesus, and they are now worshiping him. And I will say, in my mind and memory, I have a great respect for those that have gone on before that have shown me what it means to follow Jesus and live for him. They were giants in their faith. So someday our day is coming, and we know we're going to be there because of Jesus, and we'll be reunited with loved ones there. Amen? So why don't you stand with us? 1, 2, 3, 4. Worship you, Lord. We will worship. We do worship you. Not just we will worship you, we do worship you. Your grace is greater than all our sin. Your grace is greater than all our needs. You generously give us the grace of your Holy Spirit. You don't withhold that. You love us unconditionally, constantly, always. And I know people are going through hard things. They're thinking, man, Pastor Ron, where's the love of God in this? It's there. Don't let Satan lie to you. Don't be tricked out of it. It's there. God is there. He's holding on to you. His grace is sufficient. As you said to Paul, it really is sufficient. It's enough. It's all we need and then some. Amen? So we go in your grace. I pray for a special blessing on every lady, every mom, every future mom in this room. They will find your grace. Help us, the guys, to value them, to honor them, to respect them. We live in an age where disrespect is as normal as air. It's wrong. It is just plain ungodly. God, teach us to be gracious. I think for me, what it means to be the fruit of the Spirit, to be gentle, to be kind, to actually think before I speak. Danger. But we look for you, Lord. Your grace does help us, that we would be known as a church that loves all people, respects all people. We may disagree with behavior. We may disagree about political views or choice of cars, but we respect people. We love people. Amen? It's all for your name's sake. It's all for your glory. Well, you are dismissed. Have a great day. Hopefully you're going to do something as family. God bless you. Right on the chorus.